to face it all depends on many things that are going on inside the corridors of power in Westminster right now. So, on these or any other matters, you can call me, you can SMS me, you can email me, and the emails and the SMS come up on the comment wall behind me. We want to see your country and your name and your point of view up there. Let's start with an SMS on the comment wall this evening. This one from Mexico, Pedro. I feel sad for the daily tragedies, occupation and massacres against the Palestinians, but the world must realize we are all Palestinians. They are, in fact, a small example of what happens. More people are in worse situations in Mexico, Colombia, Kashmir, India. The Palestinians are just smarter as they resist and stay in the media by resisting and have support from their fellow Muslims. Well, Pedro, it's true there are many tragedies going on in the world, and it's true that if you don't resist, you end up in the museum of X nations. The Palestinians have been determined that that will not happen to them. And it is indeed an example to everyone else. That's not to say that the form of struggle in every country at every time will be the same. In many places, it will be different. And the Palestinian form of struggle has been forced upon them by the nature of the disaster and the occupation which they have suffered. Let's stay on the comment wall, take an email this time. This one is from the Virgin Islands, from Mrs. Smith. How ironic it is that Obama, as well as his past, I think she means predecessor, set about to preach and create their form of democracies in certain countries in the Middle East while choosing to address the Muslim world from countries such as Saudi Arabia and Egypt, who themselves are not governed by democracy. One is left to ask, why should they, or why are they left on touch whilst Afghanistan, Iraq, Pakistan, Gaza, Libya and other Muslim countries feel the brunt of the US and European unfair Western policies and so on? I'm not sure I'm really with you on that, Mrs. Smith. In fact, President Obama could have skated over the issue of democracy in Egypt today, but actually he dwelt on it at some length. And whilst he made the point that it's not the job of the United States to impose political systems on other people, he left no one in the audience in any doubt that Egypt is a country where there isn't democracy and where there is torture, whilst he's advocating a system with democracy and without torture. And I don't think that lesson will have been lost on any of the Arab dictatorships in the region. But we don't want, do we? We don't want the President of the United States invading countries to impose political systems on them. But we do want democracy. We do want human rights. We do want freedom. We do want freedom of speech. We really do want it, Mrs. Smith. Just because the Americans say they also want it doesn't mean that we don't want it. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from? Hello? Yes, hello, caller. We've lost that one, unfortunately. Let's take an email on the comment wall instead. Try and get that caller back again. This one from California, Khalid. I'm 17 years old. How come a lot of people are ignorant about the Palestinian conflict and think that the Israelis are the victims and the Palestinians the perpetrators, but it's the other way around? Why is the US government still giving the Israeli government weapons that the US taxpayer provides? You're a great man, and I wish you good luck for the Viva Palestina convoy that will leave the US very soon, and hope you will come back soon, safe and sound. And I pray that this will be a success. In fact, Khalid, I'll be in the United States Sunday, Monday and Tuesday of this coming week. I have to be back in Parliament for the big no confidence debate, but I'll be down your way in California, so try and catch up with me. The number of people coming on board the great US convoy that will leave New York City on the 4th of July is growing by the day, indeed by the hour. Some very important celebrities and personalities will be joining it. And there's still several weeks to go. Several weeks and several hundred trucks that we still have to raise. Now, don't forget, the views I express on this show are my own personal views. They're not the views of Press TV. They're certainly not the views of any government in the world. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Hello, I'm calling from Lowestoft.
Very good. Go ahead, sir.
I understand from a press TV report a few weeks ago that there was a parliamentary inquiry via a Liberal MP as to the conduct of what appears to be plainclothes policemen at the G20 and the anti-Bush demonstrations. I'm wondering why, if you could enlighten us a bit, why there's no criminal inquiry, if this is the case, it's alleged at the moment, bearing in mind that incitement to riot is a criminal offence. Punishable by jail, as I understand it. And it's, if there's the two people that were spotted at the G20 are together, that's a conspiracy because of the two to conspire to cause riots.
Well, there is actually an inquiry going on into the entire policing of the G20 events. There is also a criminal inquiry going on into the conduct of several police officers. These two inquiries are proceeding simultaneously. I'm sure that the point that you've raised, though I wasn't myself aware of it, though I have been aware of agent provocateur activities in the past, I wasn't aware of this. I wasn't in the country, actually, during the G20 demonstrations, but I'm sure that that will come up, and if it doesn't come up, we'll make sure that it does. Thanks, Lowestoft, for listening. Let's go back to the comment wall, take an SMS. This one from Nigeria, Bassi. Why does the government of the USA, especially President Obama, give recognition to the president of Nigeria who did not win the 2007 general election? Well, I don't know if he did or he didn't win it, Bassi, but the normal rule of diplomacy is that you give recognition to the people who are de facto in charge of a territory, which is true whether it's in Nigeria or in Gaza, a point that everyone should maybe take note of. Thank you very much indeed. Let's take an email on the comment wall. We're getting around the world. We've been in the Virgin Islands, been in Nigeria. Here's Tajuddin in Nigeria. It's been observed the UN is not playing an active role in solving the global crisis. The US went to war with Iraq without the approval of the UN. They're also planning double standards in the crisis between Israel and Palestine, supplying ammunition to Israel, deceiving the world by sending the Secretary of State to press for peace. The US should stop deceiving the whole world. God is watching them. Well, Tajuddin, God is watching all of us and knows what's in all of our hearts. And in the end, in the last day, we will have to answer for what we did and didn't do in this life. At least if you're a believer, that's what you believe, and it's what I believe. But I do think that you're being overly harsh on the government of the United States. President Obama today made a number of very important... Well, let's start yesterday. Cuba has been readmitted to the Organization of American States, the OAS, Organization of American States, after the brief interlude of 47 years of suspension. This is directly as a result of the new policy of the United States towards Cuba. In his speech in Cairo today, President Obama again extended an olive branch to the people of the Islamic Republic of Iran. His rival in the presidential race wanted to bomb Iran. His predecessor openly intrigued with Israel about bombing Iran. That's directly as a result of President Obama. He did not describe Hamas as a terrorist organization today. If you listen to politicians making major speeches like that, such omissions are important. They're shoes which did not drop and which are therefore significant. He spoke about the humiliation of occupation suffered by the Palestinian people and declared them to be intolerable. He spoke in the strongest possible terms against Israeli settlement activity. Now, he also, of course, described the unshakable relationship between the US and Israel. But if you listen to the voices of Israel's most fanatical supporters this evening, they're very, very unhappy and anxious about the speech he made in Cairo today. So, let's pay attention to what's being said, what's not being said, and above all, what's going to happen next. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller. Hello, where are you? Hello, caller. Yes, go ahead, go ahead.
I'm calling from South Africa.
You're welcome. Go ahead, sir.
I want to comment about the Mr. Obama's speech.
Yeah.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. The world's listening.
Yes. When we look at... I was watching Obama's speaking today in Cairo. He wants to have a new beginning with the Muslim world. But what we want, we are Muslim, and as the entire Muslim world, we have heard about a lot of speech. But what we want is speech should be translated into the action. But what I can see here, his speech was addressed to the Muslim world. It's not a new. We remember that in George W. Bush, his predecessor, when in the Eid Mubarak, he congratulated the Muslim and he said that we are not on war with the Islam. But I don't know, that's just a speech with an empty action. We're going to see Obama to implement and to try hard to praise Israel, to stop a settlement, and as well to see that how the suffering, as he acknowledged himself, the suffering of the Palestinian people, and secondly, most of the disappointed was his speech. Even he never mentioned about the Gaza onslaught, what is going on.
Well, look, you're right. The proof of the pudding is in the eating. President Obama has been the president for about 140 days out of 4 years, I hope 8 years in power. There's not much pudding to eat yet. But it's simply wrong to say that his speech is no different from the speeches of George W. Bush. It's simply wrong. I gave you some examples of pudding that there is to eat. In Cuba, for example, the sanctions have been reduced. Cuba has been readmitted. There's an end to talk of war with Iran and repeated olive branches of peace towards Iran. These are important, concrete things. But you're right, on the Palestine track, we have to see some evidence that what President Obama says will actually be translated in action. For example, if the Prime Minister of Israel continues to build settlements and settlement activity and ethnic cleansing of East Jerusalem that President Obama says is intolerable, what's he going to do about it? If Palestinians are still subjected to daily humiliations, large and small, by occupation that the president said is intolerable, is he going to tolerate it? But there are straws in the wind. The reference to Hamas vis-a-vis Gaza is an important one. Trust me on that. I know about diplomatic speak after all these years in this business. There's something happening. There's a reevaluation of American policy on the Israel-Palestine track. If you don't believe me, just listen to Israel's most fanatical supporters this evening. See how happy they are with the speech. There's lots more coming up after this. I'm George Galloway. I'll be bringing you a program called Comment. It's the big conversation. It's the great debate. Looking for your telephone calls, your emails, your SMSs. Make sure your email, your SMS, and above all, your telephone call gets through to me. Join me every week. Comment, Press TV, broadcasting live from central London. You'll enjoy the debate, and that's a promise. And I hope you are enjoying the debate. Why not join it? You can call me, SMS me, or you can email me at the numbers and the addresses that are coming up on the show throughout on the screen. Let's go to the comment wall and take an email. Let's see where this one's from. We've had lots of countries up tonight. Here's the UAE, Farah. What do you make of Obama's visit to puppets, corrupted, unelected Arab regimes? Why has Obama chosen pro-Israel countries? Do you think this visit failed from the inception? When will the world realize the danger of Israel to Arab countries and the world? Well, I've been talking already, Farah, about this, and before you wrote that, or rather after you wrote that. I'm not sure which countries in the Arab world he could have visited that would have been politically different from the one that he did. He spoke, of course, in Saudi Arabia to the King of Saudi Arabia. That's a normal thing to do. If you're reaching out to the Islamic world, then why not start in the country where Islam was revealed? A word, by the way, which President Obama used. He said that Islam had been revealed in Arabia. That's a very important word. It's not a word that George Bush would have raised, and it's a word that will get him in some trouble in some quarters. Because, of course, that which is revealed is divine. So think about it, Farah. That's quite important. And then he went to the biggest Arab country, where one quarter of all the Arabs in the world live. And that wasn't a bad choice. And I thought his speech was really very, very good. And certainly one that no other American president would ever have made. Let's take a telephone call. Yes, caller, where are you calling from?
Yes, George, I'm calling from Mount Vernon, New York. This is Waleed.
Hello, Waleed, welcome.
Thank you. I listened to the speech this morning myself, and I tried to listen very carefully. Like you just said, yes, you're a politician, but I'm a politician from the streets. I know street language and words that are rhetorical, mostly. One thing that Obama said, he says, we are going to start to talk about truth. Okay, so if you're going to talk about truth, you're going to say that Hamas is committing violence, but yet you do not want to even mention the violent words contained to what Israel has been doing for the last 60 years. And I find that somewhat offensive, that you single out one individual, but you don't single out the other individual. And this is what bothers me about his speech. And, you know, to have him speak about what America has done. We all know that America has been committing crimes all over the world for the last 100 years at the most. And to have him say that, well, we're not going to talk about the past, but yet the past is contingent upon what your future is going to look like. And if you're neglecting to speak about the truth concerning the past, then what is the future going to be? So I want your opinion. And one other thing that bothers me, some people may say, well, your speech is not necessary. But is 6 million an estimate or is it an exact number? Thank you very much.
Well, on that last subject, what he said was the denial of the Holocaust is baseless and hateful. And I agree with that. It's baseless and it can only be done by people who are acting in a hateful way. And to act in a hateful way is a sin. And I don't think that anyone should do it, whether they're a president or whether they're a caller from New York. And you rather spoiled quite a good telephone call by raising that matter at the end. What does it matter whether it was 6 million or 5,452,201? It was mass murder of Jews for genocidal reasons by Nazi fascism. Can't you find it in your heart just to condemn it and move on with the rest of your arguments without having to plumb the depths of hatefulness by making comments like that? Now, of course, the president did not make the speech that I would have made, or you would have made, or Noam Chomsky would have made. But then none of us could have been elected president of the United States of America. I make the kind of speech that I make, and I have an audience of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands. President Obama was speaking for the most powerful country in the world today, and he did not ignore the 60 years of suffering by the Palestinians. He talked about the Palestinian refugees living in camps in the West Bank and in Gaza and in neighboring countries. That's very important because we demand that the refugees in the neighboring countries have the right to return to their country. And he'll have some difficulty in denying that now that he has himself called attention to their existence. He talked about humiliation, large and small, suffered for 60 years. Now, of course, he didn't attack Israel with the same force that he described violence by Hamas. But he's the president of the United States. What he actually said and what he didn't say are more and better than any other president that we've ever had before. Waleed, read and study that subject again, and study the speech closely. And please don't plumb these depths about the Holocaust, at least not on here. Please. Let's go to the comment wall and take an email. This one's from Afghanistan. Mikdad, Pakistan's government with US full support says they will conquer Swat in 2 months. I think that how can a corrupt colonial puppet state like Pakistan conquer Swat when even Alexander the Not-So-Great couldn't? I also think there isn't a real enemy to conquer. Could it be a made-up enemy? That's the reason no one could conquer them. Well, I do think that the United States policy towards Afghanistan and Pakistan is potentially disastrous. It's potentially Obama's Vietnam. It's sucking the region into a vortex of potentially uncontrollable violence in a country which is a nuclear-armed state and in which nearly 200 million people live, a country of great importance with a huge diaspora, not the least in this country. The British and American policy in Afghanistan is fundamentally flawed. It will have to be changed, and I'm one of those campaigning to change it. Thanks very much indeed, Mikdad. Let's take a quick email before the break. This one is from Cape Town. Western countries in the US are supporting corrupt leaders in Africa because they care more about the benefits of their countries than the Africans. You must not forget that no one has given you a mandate to lead poor nations. We must not forget we'll be judged one day. Thanks for what you're doing. Thank you, Dutch. As Archbishop Tutu said, the British arrive with their rifles in one hand and their Bibles in the other. They taught us to pray with our eyes closed, and when we opened our eyes, they'd stolen our country all around us. That's the nature of empire. It's been a cracking first half of comment. If you've enjoyed it, stick around for the second half. I'll be back right after the news break. Come back for more debate, for more conversation with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV with comment right away.